Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown. Out there on the edge of the prairie. It snowed this last week. It was harmful. It was hurtful to people, and people suffered from it. They were angry at it, and they expressed their anger in the way that we choose to do in Lake Wobegon. They cleaned. They got out a vacuum cleaner. They got mops. They worked on their houses. They cleaned with a vengeance, violent cleaning of walls, scrubbing walls and floors and tossing junk away and books that you're not going to read again and these magazines stacked here. What are these all about? Just throw those all out. They filled up trash barrels and boxes and so forth. They were filthy, but they were happy, and they cleaned their houses. Everything smelled of lemon. This is what people do in Lake Wobegon. This is how we express aggression and anger. Is through cleaning. You walk into a house that's perfectly neat and clean, you know there was a lot of anger in those people. If they hadn't cleaned that house, they would have gone out and shot somebody, and that's just the truth. Well, the farmers are waiting to get into the fields. The corn should go in by the middle of May. They think they will be able to make it. There's no rhubarb as yet. The special down at the cafe was creamed tuna with peas on a biscuit, and they served a strawberry shortcake for a dessert. It was a busy week in Lake Wobegon. The class play was this last week, Our Town, and people went to see it so that they could see the speech by Emily's ghost as she comes back from the cemetery for one last day with her family, and she leaves them at the end of the day. She says, "Goodbye, world. Goodbye, Grover's Corners. Goodbye, Mama. Goodbye, Papa. Goodbye, Mama's sunflowers. Goodbye, food and coffee. Goodbye, clock ticking. Goodbye, new iron dresses and waking and sleeping. Oh, Earth, you are too wonderful for anyone to realize you." It was Sarah Peterson who played Emily this year. Sarah Peterson, who is having a great year. She's graduating in another month. She got a scholarship to Bryn Mawr University. She's graduating valedictorian of her class. Tall, athletic, beautiful girl. And when you saw Sarah Peterson stand out there and say, "Oh, Earth, you're too wonderful to be realized by anybody," you may have thought to yourself, easy for you to say, Sarah. Everything's going well for you. Her parents are worried about her because she's doing too well for Lake Wobegon. Being a champion is not a good strategy in this town. Honorable mention is more than good enough. And to be number one in everything, they're worried that she will draw envy and she will lose her friends. They worry about her, that she will imagine that she is charmed somehow. So they're waiting for her to go away and fall on her face in Bryn Mawr. And every time they hear a compliment of their daughter, Mr. and Mrs. Peterson, they have to bat it away as best they can. Boy, Sarah sure is a smart kid. Yeah, if only she would learn to make her bed, if only she would learn to clean up after herself. She seems so mature, so grown up. Yeah, she'll do well in school if she just can get off the cell phone once in a while. They're mystified by this girl, Mr. and Mrs. Where did she get these good looks? Neither of them is attractive. Mrs. Peterson looks a lot like her father, and handsome was something he was never accused of. Mr. Peterson looks like he has been pounding fence posts in with his face. It's not a good-looking couple. They're worried. They're worried about her now as she gets set to go away. This happens. Who knew this was going to happen when we begat children? We did it without thinking, really. We were excited at the time. The light was poor, and One often did it without thinking that this day would arrive. Your children are little and they're running through the sprinkler and they're playing dodgeball. And then one day suddenly you walk into a room and they are there practicing being cool. And they give you a cool look. And they say, oh, hi. Who are you? Oh, right. Okay, I'll be back. I'll be with you in a minute. Okay, just hold on, they say. And off they go. It's terrifying to see the brood getting ready to fly from the nest. See your children standing on the cliff with the wings they've made out of hot wax and chicken feathers and the lead ankle cuffs. And you want to say, darling, don't jump, don't do that. You can take the car, drive or something. But they will jump and they will fall and they will have a limp for the rest of their lives, as you and I do. Off they go. It's terrifying, frightening. Pastor Liz gave the sermon in church this last week, the sermon on the Gospel of John, where Jesus tells his disciples, love one another as I have loved you. Love one another so the people shall know that you are my disciples. Love one another. Attendance was very poor. Evidently, some people lost their faith when it snowed in April, and they haven't recovered it yet. Mavis Anderson was there. She had brought a big basket of daffodils to put on the altar. They were lovely white and yellow daffodils. People didn't know that that was a gift to her from Vern, the retired pastor down in Iowa, who was in love with her. Two people in their early 70s carrying on a romance under everybody's eyes until she discovered that he had been married three times and not one, as he had allowed her to believe. Three times, and that's when she kicked him out a couple weeks ago. He's been leaving voicemail messages ever since saying, I love you, I miss you. Can we talk? He says. Well, she does miss him. She was talking to Arlene during fellowship after the service at church last Sunday, and telling her all about Vern, and Arlene said, well, don't you miss him? Well, yes, I do miss him, she said, but I can't trust him. And how can you live with somebody you don't trust? Well, Arlene said, I'm sure it happens all the time. She said, but you have to ask yourself, are you going to put your principles ahead of your own happiness? And what is the principle in this case? Well, it's honesty. I expect honesty. She had looked into his claim that he'd been a Methodist minister, and she found that he had been at one time, but he had been defrocked because he was preaching that Jesus did not become divine until he was baptized, which Methodists do not believe. And thereupon, he became an ordained clergyman in the Brotherhood of the Church Future, which was founded by a prophet who lived up in Manitoba, a prophet named G. Wayne Krebs, who believed that the North and South Pole were going to shift so that the new Arctic would be in the Caribbean and Manitoba would become a tropical zone, and this was the paradise. This had been the original Garden of Eden before God punished them by moving the North Pole, and now it would be moved back. And he said that Manitoba means God with you in an ancient tongue, which he had translated by revelation from silver plates that he found in the woods. Nonetheless, she misses him. He was interesting. He was interesting. He had a lot of spunk, and he was funny. She just wishes that he had told her. She was so disappointed, so angry at him. She cleaned her house, washed the walls, washed the floors, threw out everything she wasn't going to need anymore. House was bare, sparkling clean. She was filthy. Her hair hung down around her face. She was perspiring heavily. The doorbell rang. It was the neighbor girl, Sarah Peterson, who said, "Here, I brought you an invitation to my graduation party." Mavis looked at her and she said, "The earth is so wonderful that no one can realize it. Clocks ticking, sunflowers, you think that's wonderful? Easy for you to say. You just wait. My clock has been ticking longer than yours. You wait someday. You'll find out." That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are by the elders.